Blog Talk
and
Radio.
Welcome back. Let the big dog hunt.
Another fine episode.
Joe Stazak, along with my man Steve Callis. Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and the aforementioned Steve Callis. And here he is, folks, live from wherever he is. He is in touch and online to do another one of his great remarks segments. So Steve Callis, how are you, my friend?
All good, Joe. Looking forward to this one. We got a lot to do.
A lot to get through today, my friend. A lot to get through. I used to hate when the teachers would say that. A lot to get through today, folks, so settle down, take your seats. But we're having fun today. This is all good stuff. Let's start with the NFL draft, my friend. I thought, believe it or not, I thought Philadelphia did a nice job representing themselves. I thought the draft was fun. I thought it was different. I think they're going to do a lot more of that in the future. But let's get to the picks. Where do we start? The teams that needed the most help, you have Cleveland, you have Chicago, you have San Francisco and Jacksonville. How do you think they all made out? I know Cleveland didn't take a quarterback. They took DeShone Kizer later in the draft. And once again, they passed on Carson Wentz last year. They passed on DeShone Watson. They passed on Mitch Trubisky. Your thoughts on how Cleveland did? Jacksonville takes Leonard Fournette first, and then they take an offensive tackle to maybe help Blake Bortles. Some were talking that they might take a quarterback there because they're not extremely happy with Blake Bortles. I wouldn't have been surprised if they did that. The Bears switch with the Niners under a lot of criticism, but they get their guy. They get Trubisky, and I thought the Niners had a nice draft, 1-2 at the top. What are your thoughts on the teams that needed work the most?
I think Cleveland has a longer-range view. I don't think their view is we're going to be 500 this year. I think they made the right move by taking the first player in the draft.
Yep.
I don't know where that's going to get them. I don't know if you saw the Myles Garrett, you know, Cleveland, I promise you this, that, and the other thing. It was almost like he didn't realize. I don't know if he thought he was playing tennis or golf or something like that, but it's, you know. No, I mean, he could be the Joe Thomas of the defense for the Browns, but they're a ways away. The problem with all those teams you mentioned, not the Eagles, I thought they had a real good draft. We'll get into theirs maybe in more detail.
Sure.
But I think Cleveland is going the right way. I know that sounds funny because they were 1-15, but I think they have a good coach. I think they have some good young talent. I think I told you I went on the air. I went to that first Tom Brady back in Cleveland game, and while the Patriots killed the Browns, and that wasn't a surprise, the Browns played very hard. I was sitting in the best seats I've ever sat in,
yeah, they
and
competed.
They didn't give up. They fought every play. You know, Joe Thomas getting a little long in the tooth. You wonder why, like, an all-pro for 11 years wants to stay there, but he appears to want to stay there and be part of the turnaround. So I think they're putting blocks in place. I don't even know that they need a quarterback this year, and in any event, apparently next year the quarterback class, if you will, is supposed to be much better.
Trubisky
at number two for the Bears. You know, my problem with the NFL is my problem with the NBA. We've talked about hockey where, you know, you can win from a 7-8 seed, but the Browns are so far away. The Bears are so far away. And while everyone will tell you every year there's a few teams in the NFL that can really turn it around, and that's true, I don't think you really turn it around right away from where the Browns are or where the Bears are. The Bears gave up a lot. I think the 49ers actually really did a good job by just dropping one. I'd like to hear the behind-the-scenes negotiations. Did the Bears think that the 49ers were going to draft Trubisky? Maybe they did. But that Trubisky and all these quarterbacks that got pushed up in the first round, none of whom are viewed to be franchise quarterbacks, at least that's my understanding. I love DeShone Watson, but the pro scouts don't seem to be in love with him, and he was the third quarterback taken. So I don't know Mahomes to play behind Alex Smith at Kansas City. I heard a long thing with Andy Reid. I don't know if you heard that. It was interesting, Joe, where he gave like a 3-minute explanation on his conversations with Alex Smith about the fact that we might take a quarterback we don't know when. It might be late. It might be early. And then they, you know, go up to get him. That was very interesting. I think we've talked about Alex Smith, a good NFL quarterback. You know, they put up his win percentage and everything, but he just hasn't been a guy who can get over the hump in the playoffs. Is that his fault? Is that Andy Reid's fault? Is that the Kansas City Chiefs' fault? Well, that remains to be seen. Maybe Mahomes is the quarterback of the future, but I liked Watson of the three because of what he did twice against Alabama. And I don't buy into that Alabama's a defense like an NFL team. They're not. That's a joke. But they do have four or five guys every year who become good players in the NFL. So to me, it means something. So I think the Browns did a good job. I think the Bears gave up a lot. But again, to me, those two teams are so far away that they're almost already playing for next year. Maybe you throw Trubisky into the deep water right away. I don't know. He's gonna play behind Glennon, I guess, for the first year. But we'll see how that goes if the Bears open up 0-5, for example. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I love the draft. I just say that for some teams, even in a league where you can jump up from one year to the next, I think those teams in particular are just so far away that they're almost playing. I think the Browns are certainly playing for the following year and hoping still to get a good draft pick.
No, I agree with that. It's funny, the Niners must have thrown up a great smoke screen because the Bears gave up a lot to move up one spot, and then the Niners go with a defensive end, Solomon Thomas.
Exactly.
And again, with Reuben Foster, the second pick. So they obviously didn't seem too interested unless, you know, Trubisky was their guy, and then everyone else fell off the wagon after that. But I thought they did a great job in their draft and in their some of their moves. I also thought, and we can touch on the Eagles now, the Bears, here's where I know they came under a lot of criticism. If Trubisky is their guy and they believe he is their savior, the franchise quarterback, I have no problem going up and getting your guy. The Chiefs, Andy Reid, gave up 17 spots to go get their guy. If that's his guy, remember he made a career off of Donovan McNabb. He had the second pick overall. He wanted him. He got him, did some things with him. Again, I don't think it's ever too much if your guy turns out to be that franchise quarterback.
Of course.
Because you have no idea if he's going to turn out to be a franchise quarterback. So you take a big risk there. Let's talk about the Eagles. You said you liked their draft. I'm on board with it. There's some questionable moves there, but I think overall they did a nice job. The first pick, Derek Barnett, sack leader at Tennessee all time. Not the biggest guy in the world. I know a lot of people comparing him to maybe Brandon Graham, who led the planet in hurries last year, a la Mike Mamula. Didn't really get to the quarterback more than 5.5 times. But he plays with a high motor. He's explosive. I know the downside is he ran a 4.8 in the combine. I usually certainly side with the tape. Can the guy play football? That might be a little concerning. Maybe he's not the greatest athlete, but I'll tell you what, he can get after it. He's low to the ground when he makes his move around, you know, the big defensive ends. We'll see if he can play in the league. And the bigger question mark was Sidney Jones, their number two pick. Now, if he did not bust up his Achilles in his pro day, he'd have been the first cornerback to go to bar none. He'd be in the first round. But a little bit of a risk there. I think if it heals properly, which, again, that's the risk, I'm okay with him not playing much next year. Rookies tend to not play much anyway their first year. If I'm looking for the future, which I am, and they've come under a lot of criticism around here on talk radio, but if I'm looking for the future, I'm okay with that. If he turns out to be the best cornerback in 2 years, 3 years, and plays a career, I am fine with that. Your thoughts on the Eagles and how they did?
Yeah, I agree. Barnett is supposedly even a better pass rusher than Myles Garrett, so that's something. And yes, you want speed, you want athletes and all your defensive players nowadays, and if he runs a 4.8, that's obviously not fast enough, but he's going to be a good rusher off the edge. I think he can compete at the next level, and I think he's a real nice pick because what you need, and I go back to the last two Super Bowls of the Giants where they would draft pass rusher after pass rusher after pass rusher, and if they had plenty of pass rushers, they'd still draft a pass rusher. So I think Barnett kind of fits in there, and I think he's going to be a big help. I agree with you on Sidney Jones, but even if he can't play this year or can't play well or gets in at the end of the year, that's really an investment in the future. I don't know what you think the Eagles' chances are of going deep into the playoffs next year, but again, I view that more as a long-term play. But I think they got a couple of other guys, this Danell Pumphrey, the little guy from San Diego State. they're calling him like the mini Darren Sproles, and I think Sproles is one of the best weapons in the NFL and can still do it. Now, if Pumphrey's going to be his successor again, you're looking maybe 2-3 years down the road. But I also thought they did well in the later rounds with these wide receivers, this Mac Hollins from North Carolina, Gibson from West Virginia. I think that can help the Eagles as well. The big question for the Eagles, and you know it better than anyone, is Wentz really the guy? You know, started like a ball of fire last year. After 3-0, they were going to win. You know, he was going to be what Dak Prescott turned out to be, and the Eagles were going to be 12-4. And then he flattened out. Then he came on okay at the end. You know, they threw him in the deep water right away. So is he the guy? But if he is the guy, I think he's going to need another year as well. So I think the Eagles have a bright future, maybe not this year, but maybe 2 years from now.
I agree with that. I am not looking for this year to do anything. You said, what are the chances of them going deep in the playoffs? I'd say 2%. I just have to see a lot more. I think Carson Wentz needs a lot more work. He was up and down last year. You're right. I think more than his play, his decision-making was a little curious, and he does throw the ball high, or he has a tendency to. But, yeah, I think it all revolves around the quarterback. It all revolves around Wentz. They have Wendell Smallwood. Here's the issue with their running backs. They don't have a marquee running back, a guy you can feed 20, 25 times. They have Wendell Smallwood. Darren Sproles only touches the ball 5 to 7 times. And I'm not saying this is an awful thing. I'm just saying it is what it is. I do like Donnell Pumphrey from San Diego State. The thing is, if he's another Darren Sproles, I'm great with that. I don't know if he's built like Darren Sproles at all. He's only 170, but he's quick as a hiccup. And there's a lot of questions about his size, but I do remember another running back out of San Diego State many years back they thought was too small. His name was Marshall Faulk, and he certainly went on to have a nice career. Don't know if anyone's paralleling him, but, hey, I'll take another Darren Sproles, and I do like what they did with the wide receivers. They had to shore up their defense. Everyone thought, and the word was, they were going to help Carson Wentz early and often. Their defense was horrible, and it has been horrible. And I know that Derek Barnett is a wide nine guy, and it works well in the Jim Schwartz system. Let me ask you this question. It works well in the Jim Schwartz's system, and I know they draft for, okay, our system is this. This guy's going to fit. This guy's going to fit. Anything can happen. Doug Peterson could be awful, and they could fire the whole staff. Then you have a guy who's great in the 4-3, but you might bring a coach in who plays the 3-4. I'm always of the mindset, take the best player available and tailor your system around these guys. Take the best athlete. Take the best football player. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with that, but obviously not all the NFL coaches and owners who hire the coaches and coaches who hire the coordinators think that way. Some are very wedded to the 3-4. Others are wedded to the 4-3. If you're an athletic down lineman, you know, in the 3-4, you can play the outside on the 4-3, but I don't know.
Sure.
It's hard. Now, I don't know. You tell me what the Eagles think of Doug Peterson. Is he there for a year or two? Is he there for the long haul? If they open up 0-6, is his job in jeopardy? Because I think a lot of that has to happen. You don't have very many patient owners in this league. Bar. I will point to a guy like John Mara. I mean, and Wellington Mara before him, obviously, sometimes people thought they were too patient, but they have generally been, you know, a lot of people wanted Coughlin fired long before he got fired. And as we talked about, if Coughlin, I'm sure he's standing somewhere in Jacksonville now going, man, if you gave me $200 million in defensive players, I could have been a good coach last year as well. And he might be right. And I think Coughlin's going to do some good things down at Jacksonville. People forget that he actually formed the team there. He was a really good coach before he came to the Giants and won 2 Super Bowls. So the question out of Jacksonville that I'm hearing is there a point where Coughlin will come back and coach? Because you know he didn't want to leave last year. You know he went on a few interviews for coaching jobs, and he took this job as kind of the overseer, president, whatever you're going to call him. But I wonder, I don't think he's lost the will to coach. And I don't think Jacksonville, they're going to improve, and I don't think they're going to be a lot better. But I think the point of it all is, if you have a patient owner who's committed, and I'm not saying Doug Peterson is the guy. I know you were up and down on him a little bit last year.
Yep.
But if you're going to commit to a guy like Schwartz, and I hated Schwartz as a Detroit coach, but I think he's an excellent defensive coordinator. I'll never forget that thing with him and Harbaugh was the most embarrassing thing. My kids were younger. Like, what, these guys are acting like 12-year-olds. What do you say to your children? And they're the coaches. They're not the players.
Right, right.
So, but he is an excellent defensive coach. You do have to give him that. And I think the Eagles have a big upside. I just don't think it's this year.
I agree with you. I don't necessarily think they're on board too much with Doug Peterson. If he does start 0-6, I don't think they're necessarily married to him. You know, honestly, he's a nice guy, a real nice man. He comes off as a little bit, I don't know how else to say this, kind of a stooge sometimes with some of his decision-making on the field and then trying to. It's one thing if you make a mistake and say, I made a mistake, I should have done this. Looking back on it, I should have done this. But he seems to justify his dumb moves with explanations that don't make sense. And I think you talk about impatient owners. We certainly have one here in Jeff Lurie. I don't think he's got a big leash. But we shall see. Again, everyone was on board with the Doug Peterson and the Wentz wagon last year after 3-0. And, you know, it's basically only, you're only as good as your last week or as your last season. They went 7-9 last year. Did not make the playoffs. Again, we shall see. You mentioned the Giants and pass rushing and the Maras and whatnot. Let's talk about the Giants a little bit. What were your thoughts? Evan Engram, from tight end from Mississippi, goes one. And, of course, they got on the Alabama wagon and went with Dalvin Thompson, Tomlinson, the defensive tackle number two. What are your thoughts on how the Giants did? How would you grade them out?
Yeah,
they did take a quarterback in the third round. Might be their guy of the future after after Eli is done. What do you think of Davis Webb?
You mean it's not Geno? what's poor Geno Smith thinking after starting, getting punched out over a $600, I mean, what a schmuck, getting punched out over a $600 debt, losing his starting job, essentially getting no chance, gets a little chance, doesn't do well. Now he's the backup to a guy who never misses a game. Obviously, you can get hurt at any time, but Eli never misses a game. He's an Iron Man. And then they go out and draft Webb, who I actually like. My son actually saw him play because, you know, my son's living out right near Berkeley, and he saw him play. But he thought it might be the system as much. And I guess before him, Goff was before him. Is that right at Cal Berkeley? Isn't that where Goff played?
Goff was before him, yes.
Right. So you're on the fence. Did Goff really step in and play? But Webb will certainly have a few years. I don't feel bad for Geno Smith. I actually think he has some ability, but I wouldn't want to rely on him as my quarterback. So Engram, I guess my biggest complaint would be the Giants really needed an offensive tackle. Got one very late, seemed to kind of say without saying, or maybe they did actually say it, that the quarterback, some people thought the quarterbacks in this class weren't that good. A lot of people didn't think much of the offensive tackles. But the Giants really have to they have to give Eli some time. Now, Evan Engram runs a 4.42 40. You don't see that much in tight ends.
No.
The Giants, you probably know this, they averaged, their tight ends last year averaged 7.7 yards per catch, last in the NFL. So I'll say what I said last year when I thought Victor Cruz might be Victor Cruz. He wasn't. But now they got Odell Beckham. They got Brandon Marshall. Sterling Shepard had a nice year. And now they got a guy who runs a 4.42 tight end. They're going to be potentially an offensive juggernaut, but that always takes you back to what? Takes you back to the offensive line. So will the offensive line improve a little after playing together for most of the year last year? Yes. I thought they could have gotten the tackle earlier. You almost have to defer to them in terms of linemen, college linemen. Do they translate? But I do like Tomlinson. Frankly, I pretty much like any – we both picked Clemson to win it all, but I pretty much like any Alabama defensive player because they've proven to most of them to make the jump, and I think Tomlinson can be that kind of guy as well. And again, he's going to be more of a stop-the-run kind of guy, maybe get through to the quarterback, but mostly, you know, to clog up the middle, and I think he can actually do that. So overall in the Giants, I think pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. But I think they're close. I think they're closer than the Eagles. Maybe I'm a dreamer. I'm a New York guy. I'm a Giant fan, as you know. But I think they're close. And I think now when you look at what they have coming back this year at the wide receiver position, throwing in Engram, a very fast tight end, if they can keep Eli standing up, he's going to have a heck of a year offensively, statistically, and we'll just see if that translates to wins. I'll just give you a quick minute on the Jets, if I could.
I was going to mention them for two safeties, first two picks. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Yeah, I love the first pick. I don't, you know, well, Maccagnan essentially said, you know, we go with the best player on the board. So I guess the question is if in the third round there was a safety there, they would have picked three safeties. everybody loves Adams. Everybody was shocked. Now, look, the Bears were moving up a little, and everybody thought Adams would be gone by six, but he wasn't. So I kind of totally agree with that. The Jets secondary, I mean, you'll recall 2 or 3 years ago, the Jets had an unbelievably fantastic defense, and they did. But what happened? So I was a big Todd Bowles fan in Arizona. I used to turn to my son when we were watching games that the Cardinals were playing, and they blitzed every down. I was like, I love this guy. Bring seven, bring eight, bring nine, bring as many. Just put a guy on each receiver and bring the whole team. And that really put Arizona into a higher level. And they kind of fell off, as you know, last year. I think part of it was Bowles has been gone now there. But the theory apparently is now with two really good safeties, and, you know, we can debate whether that – I mean, again, Adams looks like the real deal. Is Marcus May? I don't really know. But at least in theory, that's going to shore up their defensive backfield. But that doesn't help me. If you need a great pass rush. To get your safeties into work. If you got shut down corners, that's a different deal. But excellent safeties, I'm good with one. I personally don't think they needed two. But we'll just have to see. Again, the Jets to me are one of those teams that are so far away. And I like Todd Bowles. I mean, maybe he's getting the pass again. It's not his fault. We talked about it last year. Their schedule 2 years ago was easy. They went, they had 10 wins. Their schedule last year was horrifically hard. On the air, I said I'd be shocked if they were 3-3, and I thought they'd be 2-4, and they were worse. They were 1-5, and their season was over. So I think they did right by not signing Fitzpatrick to a long term. I think he was a beneficiary partly of an easy schedule 2 years ago, and I don't think you can say he was terrible last year because he didn't have a long-term contract. I just don't buy that. And now that whole team is falling apart. To me, Brandon Marshall wanted out. You know, Decker got hurt. So I don't think you can blame it all on Fitzpatrick. He's a gamer, but, you know, he should be a backup somewhere with a chance. So I think the Jets, again, excellent first pick. I don't think there is much after that, but they got a long way to go, and I don't know how long Woody Johnson gives these guys. You can't scream about them last year because from a schedule perspective alone, I think you would have thought they were going to drop three games from 10 wins to 7 wins, and of course they were worse than that. And there seems to be some, are they going to trade Sheldon Richardson? He's an excellent player who seems unhappy. So I think there's problems in Jetland. And they're certainly still in the wrong division as long as Tom Brady can stand up in the pocket.
And if you ask him, it's going to be another 10 years, so we shall see. Hey, great stuff on the draft, my friend. We're here with Steve Kallas, Kallas Remarks with Joe Stasiak and Steve Kallas. Let's turn to the NBA, and usually we begin with LeBron, but I want to talk about a game that happened in San Antonio last night, if you can call it a game. The Rockets just, dismantled the Spurs, and I wonder how that post-game speech went in the locker room with Pop. I guess that probably didn't work out too well for the players. 27 fast break points, 36 points in the paint, 22 three-pointers. The Spurs looked like the Sixers playing the Warriors. They just looked totally out of sync. What happened to the Spurs last night, and can they turn things around? Pop's a very good coach, very good tactician, but, man, it seemed like they were completely lost last night.
Yeah, Pop's post-game press conferences aren't as funny when they get killed, and that's what they got. I mean, it was never a game. Houston presents different problems because they take so many threes, and if they're on, they're very, very tough to beat. Now, in the NCAA tournament, we talk about it all the time, live by the three, die by the three. If you have a bad game, you lose. But that's not the case in the NBA, and I think this goes into the article I wrote about Oscar and Harden and Westbrook, where I said I thought Kawhi Leonard was the MVP and still think he's the MVP of the NBA this year, although he just had a so-so game, bad for him. But, 21, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, Kawhi had a bad game. But you see, my whole point was San Antonio is not that good this year. I think people think, you have Golden State and you have Cleveland. Can San Antonio beat Golden State? But I think the better question, and I thought this before this game, was can the Rockets beat San Antonio? Because I think, Joe, they're just not that good. Now, Aldridge only had 4 points. He had that hard thing early in the year but got cleared to play. He's kind of been their number two. I don't care what you say. Ginobili is a shell and has been for a couple of years.
Sure.
Parker is still good, but he's not the Parker he was 4 or 5 years ago. Tim Duncan's not walking through that door. I just don't think they're that good. And because they won 61 this year, which I think really helps Kawhi in the MVP race, if anybody looks at that. It's everyone says, oh, well, you know, they win 60 every year. Well, behold it now, but look at this team. They don't have a Ginobili who's a Ginobili. Duncan's not here. Parker's good, but not great. So who are the Spurs now? To me, they're Kawhi Leonard. And when Aldridge is healthy and playing well, but, you know, they got him down early. Harden led the league in assists. I don't really want to compare Harden and Westbrook. Westbrook can put up the numbers.
14 last night.
Right, with 20 points and 4 steals. You know, the 4 regular season games, even though the Spurs won 3, you probably know this, none of them are by more than 6 points. So it's a shock that they blew them out. This is the worst home loss in postseason history for the Spurs. That takes up a lot of ground. And I actually think Houston has a chance to beat them. You know, everyone's saying Pop won't panic after one game, and he won't. Parker and, you know, who was it? Somebody on ESPN was going, you know, Parker's not going to panic and Ginobili's not going to panic. And it's all true. But that's not the question. The question
right.
is how good
are good
the Spurs.
Enough?
And I still maintain they can win this series, absolutely. But I still maintain that Leonard's the MVP because this is really like a 50-win team, not a 60-win team. And I think because of Kawhi Leonard, they were a 61-win team. And again, I'll go back to that 61-62 in my article where Russell – a greatest defender ever on the best team with the best record. You know, he won the MVP over Chamberlain, who averaged 50 and 25 rebounds, and over Oscar, who averaged a triple-double. I think there's an analogy here with Kawhi over Westbrook, who averaged a triple-double, and Harden, who's playing great. Those guys don't play a whole lot of offense. Westbrook can make an incredible block once in a while, but Kawhi Leonard's the best or second-best defensive player in the league. So I think you saw a little of that yesterday. I don't know how it's going to go. I picked the Spurs to win the series, so it's not like I'm in love with Houston, but I certainly thought Houston could give them a lot to handle. But, of course, I never thought what happened yesterday. And we're going to find out about Popovich now because, again, I don't think he's coaching the best team in the league anymore and hasn't been for a
right.
few years.
And you look good when you do have the best players in the league on your team. We have about 2.5 minutes until we break for a second. We'll come back live after that. But let me ask you something because you mentioned can the Rockets win the series? Sure. Can the Spurs come back and win the series? Absolutely. But can any of them get by the Warriors? And I hate to put the cart before the horse. They begin their series with the Jazz tonight. We talked about Kevin Durant. There was a nice article on ESPN about marginalizing Steph Curry with the addition of Kevin Durant. That might knock down Steph Curry a bit, and they did some nice comparisons in terms of numbers when Durant's on the floor and when he's not. Does that hurt them as a team? I know it might hurt Steph Curry individually, statistically, but does Kevin Durant help or hurt them as a team?
I think Durant helps them. I think Curry is smart enough to know, you know, he's got the glory, he's got the MVPs, he's got the championships, but I still don't believe that without Durant they're a better team with a better chance to win the championship. I just don't believe that. Now, Curry might take a back seat. Durant is obviously a superstar, but, you know, we talked about it last year. How many balls do these guys need? When Durant signed, when he signed, we were talking about how many basketballs do they need? Thompson would always take a backseat to Curry. Draymond Green does not need the ball, but when you bring a guy like Durant into the mix, Durant and Curry need the ball. They're big-time players. They're big-time scorers. They're both MVP candidates every year, although they've kind of neutralized themselves this year, frankly. And we talked about a big three versus a big four. The reason I don't like Golden State this year is because I think they need a year. If you look at LeBron going to Miami, LeBron coming back to Cleveland, Golden State as the big three, you know, you need a year. In my opinion, even with the big threes of the world, you need a year before you can really win. And I think this is going to throw something a monkey wrench into the whole thing. And I liked the Cavaliers last year because LeBron had had a year back losing in the finals and now winning in the finals.
Sure.
I like them this year, and they're playing better now. There's a long way to go for Cleveland. But I think you need Durant if you want to beat Cleveland this year, and they're just going to have to work it out. Even if Curry takes a slightly back step, maybe he should be a little more aggressive. Maybe Durant should defer to him a little bit. That's going to be hard to do on the fly in the playoffs, though.
No, I would totally agree. We're going to check out here for about a minute, and then we'll be back. Kalish Remarks, Joe Stazek, and Steve Kelce. We'll be talking about LeBron and the layoff that the team had, and there's always a rest versus rust argument. It looked like it worked in LeBron's favor. Folks, we will be right back in 1 minute.